Ladies and gentlemen, here we are as a part of the All-Stars Tour, Upon a Burning Body, Dance Gavin Dance, A Skylit Drive, Within the Ruins, Oceano, many others. And I have the pleasure of being joined by two members of I Wrestled a Bear Once.
Hello.
Hi.
That's Mike and Courtney. I'll let you figure that out. All right, so the last time I had the pleasure of seeing a full set from, well, not really a full set, but I Wrestled a Bear Once was pre-C and pre-M, shall we say, at the All-Stars Tour, I think 2011, at good old Crocodile Rock.
All-Stars Tour.
Yeah. First one, yeah.
Really cool one.
Wow. Yeah. You guys will make this one cool, too.
Yeah, this is the cool
Hopefully,
one.
Yeah.
But this is a special tour for you guys because it's a new low-calorie version of the band, shall we say. Down a guitarist.
Yeah.
Has everything been working out as you hoped?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's always, it's not the greatest when you can't have one of your guys there, but we're making the best of it, and honestly, we're really happy with how things are going, and kids are really liking it too, and we're getting to play some new stuff, and we're just having a blast. It's awesome. Yeah, it's great.
Having a fill-in is always cool, but it is not, if you're not going to have your other, if your other guitar player can't make it out for a tour, it's pretty cool to just have like a ghost guitar on stage and not, you know, another dude in your van who you don't know.
It keeps the dynamic of the band, you know, similar, as opposed to having a new face there temporarily. It's, you know, it's comfortable, so
yeah,
it's good.
You should just have a guitar set in the back, just like as a ghost would be playing.
Steven says that we should get like a cardboard cutout of him.
Like a hologram of like Tupac or something. That'd be good.
Perfect.
I'm working on it.
All right.
You're running out of time, I would think. All right. So I have to qualify my previous statement because 3 years ago in Scranton at Warped Tour, I heard some familiar brutality. So I walked to the front of the, I think, Ernie Ball stage, and I got right in the front row as the last notes rang out, and you guys were like, thank you, good night, and just walked off stage. So technically I did see you since then, but this will be the first time actually seeing a proper set with you guys in this new configuration, and I'm excited.
Yeah.
All right. So I've heard the story, of course. You came on board to help out in their time of need, but I never heard, how did they know to contact you?
I think it's just there's not a lot of us girls that do this kind of thing. So even though we've all never met or even been in the same country as each other, we all are aware of each other, you know? So when someone quits a band, they don't just like go, they're not just like happy one day then they leave. You know when someone's gonna, you have like a few backup, you got your side chicks like ready to go. You're like, all right, if they ever leave, I saw this dude play the drums this one day and he was good, let's call him up. Yeah. So they, you know, so they just kind of knew of me because there's not a lot of girls that do that kind of music, and there's not a lot of vocalists that do both singing and screaming anyway, guys or girls. So you have to kind of like, if there's any instability, you've kind of like, you know,
like a plan.
Like my, you know, Michael was all, he was already my boyfriend before he's in the band, and we're all right, soon you'll be in the band. You know, like, well, you know, you can tell John's probably gonna quit. Let's get this guy in. He'll come. He'll step up. Yeah. So you kind of, it's like they're your relief team that you already know they're gonna come.
That answers another question, but awesome. Okay. All right. So after a successful recorded debut with the band from a couple years ago, Late for Nothing, still in stores now, we have a tasty new album called Hail Mary in stores now. And this is by far the most consistently heavy and aggressive album. Was that something that the band was like, we have to make all aggressive, heavy songs? We're so sick of these top 40 singles that we're just putting out.
Top 40.
We're sick of hearing ourselves in the supermarket when we walk around.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, no, I think it was just one of those things where, like, you know, when I started playing with the band in 2013, I was a fill-in, and it was just kind of, like, testing the waters and stuff, and after a while, I was in the band, and we started getting on the topic of writing and stuff, and my style of writing is a little bit different than Steven's, and at first I was a little bit worried about kind of where the direction would go, but, you know, we both were starting to write and sending each other back and forth, and we're both super cool with it, and, you know, like I said before in other interviews and stuff, it's, before I was in the band, one thing about Iwabo that I've always respected is there was no rules, and they kind of went against the grain at all times without even really planning to. So this time around, we just had all this material. Like, I had like over, you know, like 50 minutes worth of stuff. Steven had like around the same, and we just kind of like chopped through it and went through it, and this is what we came up with. And if anything, I feel like the band just kind of went back to the roots, but in a more modern way. You know, it's like the 2015 Iwabo, right? So
yeah,
that's kind of the way that it went.
And it's more groovy. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, like Michael's more of a groove guitarist. He's more rhythmic. Like he's more, the stuff he writes is a little bit bouncy. So it has like that cool, like, bounciness to it. It's heavy, but a little bit of like groove to it. It's cool.
Some of the guitar parts, almost, I've never been attacked by hornets, but if I were, that's...
Yeah, there's, you know, it's funny, I mean, obviously I just said, like, we didn't plan on doing stuff, but in certain parts, you know, obviously we had ideas of certain sounds that we wanted to do in parts, and we really kind of spent a long time planning on, well, not really planning, but just, like, going through and using the right gear to get weird sounds that kind of made people turn their heads and stuff, and there's a few parts in the record, you know, when I first showed my friends, they were like, what the hell is that? You know what I mean? And yeah. I think that's cool. I like messing around with different sounds and stuff.
Like, you knew it was guitar, but there's been a lot of people that have done, like, reviews and stuff on our album or talked to us about it, and one thing that's gotten me so happy is they don't realize that some of those noises are guitar.
Right.
So I think that's so cool that people are, you know, doing a review. They're like, oh, there's a lot of, you know, electronic noises. So just out of the blue, what is from a keyboard? And I'm like, now it's like a live guitar making that cool noise. So I thought that was kind of neat that some people didn't realize it was the guitar.
Yeah.
It means you're doing something weird. It's fun.
Super weird.
So on the last album, you guys had Steve Vai, and did that factor in? You had a guitar solo there, but now you also had some guitar soloage on this album.
Michael's a guitar solo guy.
Yeah, I mean, like in my old band, we threw solos in and stuff like that, and it's not really like out of you know, weirdness for me to do that. So in that song, especially, you know, at the end of it, I had this guitar solo there, and when we were writing and stuff, I showed Steven, and he was like, "That's cool." And then, you know,
he's never done
a guitar solo either. And he threw one in there himself, and we kind of have like this trade-off. So he does the first one and I do the second one, and you know, it just kind of it fit, and we didn't really think much of it, and we're like, cool, it's going on the record, sweet.
So it was his first, like, it was, you know, Michael's done that a lot, but it was our band's first like actual guitar solo, and Steven's first like full on, you know, this is, you know, I stopped singing and it's like their little time to shine. Because I think that's cool. I would love to do that song live soon, so that I would love like the dueling guitar thing is cool.
I love how you guys evolve from album to album. That's one thing you have to hand it to you guys for.
I don't know why. Maybe there's no, there's,
you can get out of your way, sorry.
There's never, no one's ever given us any direction, to be honest. We've never had any, I don't mean that in a, like, that's cool, like we're so cool, no one tells us what to do. I mean, we just really, the direction is our own. We don't have we've never had a label that tried to force us to sound a way. We've never had management that tried to sound a way.
It's funny too, because, like, you know, and I mean, obviously YouTube comments or whatever, but like, it's funny reading some of them and seeing kids being like, oh, well, now they're on Artery. Obviously they've, you know, done this or they've done that. And it's like, no. We never have had anyone point at us and go, you're doing this, this, and this. We've always done our own thing.
So that's, I think it's cool to collaborate with people but we haven't ever had that. We just do it ourselves. So I guess it makes it, in a way, it can make it, you know, maybe we would be out of touch, but I think it makes it so that we are just kind of doing our own thing and it separates us. So I like that. I'd like to work with people too. I think there's a little sense of pride you have when you're done with, you polish your little album and you're like, we did it ourselves. No one helped us.
Well, Stephen, of course, produces, mixes, masters, does everything. So I think that would give you a certain degree of control too. So awesome.
When I, you know, obviously, I would love to go work with somebody else, like for us to get to go to a producer. But it is cool to not have like someone breathing down your neck. You know, you get to just go in the room, and if you don't like it, well, you can do it again the next day, and it's not the end of the world. You know, so it's kind of nice. I think I probably work better under pressure. But I do like the privilege we've had of not having, you know, studio time.
Sure, yeah.
It's kind of awesome because you have to be real with yourself if it wasn't quite good enough. You have to go, because you have to do it, you can do it again. You can just wake up and go in the other room and do it again.
What I understand, this album was a little more leisurely paced in terms of writing and recording, and you weren't just shoved in there with 2 weeks or however many days to come up with lyrics?
For stuff that I did, I started writing last May, and we were writing up until, I'd say, November. So it was a long time. It's a really long time.
they just kind of, and they wrote a little bit of stuff while we were there, but yeah. You guys pretty much came with your jams.
We came prepared, and we just spent a long time piecing it together, really.
Yeah, and then I had you know, infinite time. I re-recorded a ton of stuff, and I would show Michael and Steven, you know, vocal patterns, and they might have a cool idea because they're both, you know, rhythmic guys. Like, they both understand drums and could help me with patterns if I needed it. And yeah, so I changed a ton of stuff. It was awesome. Nothing worse than like putting out a CD and then like 2 months later thinking of some alternate thing you could have done better. You're just like, damn.
Stuff. That's true. Yeah, it is really true.
I don't have that on this album. I'm everything I did, I like committed to it.
Sure, yeah.
So I was thinking, like, with Late for Nothing, maybe you had some regrets, not regrets, but second thoughts about some of the stuff, as opposed to on this album, you were 100% happy, maybe?
Yeah, the last one, we recorded ourselves, too. Like, I the only thing I wish that I had done with that is I wish I had gone down there sooner to be with, because the guys all lived together, and I was at home. So I wish I had gone down there and, like, watched them, you know, creating. Hanging out. Well, you know, by creating, I mean, like, watch them, like, smoke weed and watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and then, like, want to go ride guitar. But I feel like I gave it my all on that one, but I feel like the music that we did on that one wasn't so polarizing. Like, I love that CD, but there was nothing on there. This one has almost more novelty, like, very highs and lows, like the more extreme. So I feel like that's more attention grabbing. You know, people either love it or they hate it. Whereas our last album, more people were like, yeah, it was good. Yeah. Now that you people are either like, this is so awesome, this is the best CD I've ever heard, or people are like, this is garbage.
Yeah.
I'm gonna, you know, disown my family now because I'm upset. I'm gonna shave my head.
Yeah.
I'm gonna light myself on fire.
Yeah.
So I like that. I like more extreme reactions.
More dramatic, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that means that we sparked, whether it was positive or negative, like sparked something.
Made a difference in someone's life.
Yeah, yeah. Either we ruined their life or made them really
enhanced
happy.
It, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm really happy with it.
Okay, lyrically, you take on religion in no uncertain terms on this album. Elsewhere, you mentioned an ex-Catholic, ex-Methodist, and ex-Canadian Pentecostal, something I'm pretty sure you just made up. I've never heard of it. Were all those churches that you were dragged to as a child, or was that something you did even some dabbling as an adult and were like, nah?
I just, you know, I grew up in New England until I was like six, so my whole family's Catholic. We moved down to Alabama. Everyone there's Baptist. And then when I was there, you know, we started going to non-Catholic churches, which is, like, way more fun. Like, there's more it's more musical. And so that's how I kind of started becoming a performer, which was being in, you know, the church band. I was a singer, played guitar and sang in the church band. And then when I moved to Canada, yeah, like, you know, where I live, if you're a Pentecostal person, you know, all my friends who were Pentecostal, they you couldn't cut your hair and you had to wear long dresses every day. In Canada, there's a Pentecostal church is just like, just a random church. And it was, you know, I just liked going because I got to go perform in front of everyone. So I just, you know, and then I got older and I was like, well, that was fun, but now I want to not feel like I make, you know, someone telling me that I'm going to go to hell for being a normal human being, so I'm going to get out of here. And then same with, it's just one of those things, you just always go to church because, you know, everyone else does where you live. And I moved to Canada, that's not a normal thing. Weirdo people go to church. So I was like a minority going to church. So where I'm, you know, because where I'm from, you're weird if you don't go to church. That's your social life. It's like going to picnics and stuff. And then you still go get wasted and face on the weekends, but like you hang out with your church friends. So yeah. Where we live, that's like non-existent.
No, I never went to church or anything.
Michael's never been baptized. He's gonna.
I'm gonna rot in hell. That's for sure.
Well, here we are.
Went to a church for the first time. My little sister in Alabama had a baptism, and so Michael, I was like, Michael, we're getting you in. We're going. You're getting in there. You're gonna see what it's all about.
Your VIP pass. Yeah. Getting to see everything.
Seeing Jesus front row.
Got on the guest list. Awesome.
Yeah, we got you on the guest list.
It's all matters.
So talking about a collaboration, you had Eddie from Suicide Silence on the album. And of course, as I mentioned, Steve Vai before. But you've also mentioned a love of Every Time I Die, interview alumni of ours. Any chance of a future collaboration? Every Time I Wrestle a Bear?
Oh, how sick would
I don't even think that I could even ask, because I would be so scared.
Yeah.
They're really awesome guys.
I love ET. Yeah. They're definitely, I grew up listening to them like crazy. They're my favorite band.
And they've, every time we've ever toured with them, they've always been so nice to us. They always give us a shout out on stage, and they're just such nice guys. But I love their band, and I think that Keith Buckley is just one of the best lyricists.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he has a great voice, too.
Yeah.
But even more special, I feel, in this world is to have, like, meaningful, cool lyrics that are, like, relevant 10 years later.
His storytelling is, like, above everyone, practically.
So I would, I feel like I'd like everybody in that band on a song. But I don't think I could ever even bring my, because I'm not, like, on a friend level where I was like, hey, you know, you should give me your number so I can text you, because I'm too scared to do that kind of stuff. But I would act, if you know, if that ever happened, it would probably be the coolest experience of my life, probably. And I hope that they don't hear this, because then I'll be even more embarrassed.
I'll tweet it at them, don't worry. It's all
Courtney, my resident bear ones, fangirls about you, even though she knows you as a person now.
In an interview.
Yeah.
Well, I'll submit it to Blabbermouth. That'll be awesome.
Oh, perfect.
That is the kind of headline they would use, but whatever. Anyway, has there been any discussion about, I don't know what the verb would be, wrestling, bearing up a Beyonce song?
Ooh.
There's a,
I don't even love that.
There's a song, there's that, her latest CD is one of my favorite albums ever, basically, as far as, like, production, and obviously, she's a great singer, and so, yeah, there's a song on there that I always thought, I won't ever do it, but if we did one Beyonce song, I would do Haunted by Beyonce.
Yeah.
It's, you know, not a lot of people know all the songs, because she didn't really release a true single off it. She just dumped the album out, which is so cool. But that, there's one track on there that is so dark, and it's, like, very heavy. So I always, it's about, like, you know, sexy bondage.
Fun, you know, times.
It's just sexy, lots of, like, it's like
lots of
slapping and kissing and stuff. So,
all right, fine. I'll check it out. You talk me into it.
It's a good. You should watch the video. Then you'd really like it.
You'd really like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Well, you can save that for the duo acoustic tour. Then.
Yeah. There you go.
One of these days, Michael and I always want to make pretty music together. So one of these days, maybe we won't be playing Beyonce, but I bet we would do some fun covers just for fun, like around where we live.
Totally.
Do some Mazzy Star covers, whatever.
Yeah. Well, we're thinking of doing, because we live in Canada, like, all Canadian bands, that, like, all our Canadian friends were like, that song.
Yeah.
Like, do, like, metric songs. And
Rush.
Yeah, oh, Rush.
Yeah, that'd be
yeah.
sweet.
That'd be awesome.
Excellent. Well, on social media, maybe it was Facebook, maybe it was whatever, you announced that you guys were going to, quote, get swole before the tour. What is an Iwabo workout?
Ooh, well, I mean, it does consist of pre-workout, that's for sure. We even take it before we play, so our shows
I do not.
Well, Corny doesn't, but we even have a nickname for it, Fire Bees.
That's why we have a song, called Fire Bees. It's named after our pre-workout formula, like, that gets them all jazzed.
But believe it or not, no, I mean, like, you know, me, Ricky, and Mikey, we work out consistently, but as soon as we go on tour, though, it's like we have all these plans of, you know, bringing our weights and stuff like that, but by the time we get to the show and we set up and we do all this stuff, we're just like, let's just go get a burger, screw it.
But to be fair, though, I always work out on tour.
Corny is crazy. Because
I have to. I have to. If I'm not physically in shape, you can hear it, you know?
That's true.
And then Steven, he is one of those guys, those really skinny guys, who's like, you know, but I've worked out, and when I do, I get jacked. You know? Like, he always says, like, my body doesn't want that. Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? Just embrace that you're not fat and you just eat a bunch of burgers. Just let me bask in your luckiness, you skinny bastard.
Yeah, might do some high knee raises before I play. Maybe some butt kicks, you know? But nothing really.
Yeah, so when we're at home, Michael and I go to the gym a lot. I just did a half marathon, nice. So now it takes a lot to get me out of breath, which is really great for stage. Yeah. So, yeah. So if you want to be in a band, you got to make sure that you're strong enough so that when you go on tour, you don't get a bangover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
the first, you know, week of the tour, you're all really sore.
Gotcha.
And you got to lift heavy equipment.
It seems like over the last few years, bands have gotten creative about merchandise with beers, hot sauces, etc. Is there something outside of the box that you guys have done or want to do?
There's a few things that we've wanted to do. We're gonna do a wine for this last release. It didn't work out because it's like we couldn't sell alcohol over the internet or something without a liquor license, but it's called Hail Mary Full of Grapes.
Oh, okay.
And I bet it was so good tasting. But
yeah.
Is that a reference?
Yeah. No, I just Hail Mary Full of Grace. So Hail Mary Full of Grapes.
I don't know. I was just thinking about the movie Pecker, where John they have
Waters.
Yeah. They had a lot.
I've seen a lot of John Waters movies, but I feel like I would remember each one because they're so messed up. So I don't remember that one.
They had the a Mary doll that the one grandma pretty much like would mouth the words like Mother Mary full of grace, but like people are like, you're just saying that. Like, no, it's a doll. Doll saying it.
God.
But she would just move the mouth. And
the last John Waters movie that I watched was about there was like a gross person that loved eggs in it. And they just, they're like, I want eggs! And then they would, like, smush.
Was that Pink Flamingos?
Yes.
Like,
yeah, oh, God. Yeah.
We did prayer candles this time around. That was cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
And then, I mean, we're running out of options, to be honest. Oh, Ricky has emerged.
Oh, hello.
We have backup.
Hello, how are you?
We were just talking.
Is this a microphone?
Is this on? Hello? Yeah. Hello?
We were just talking mad shit on you guys, how you guys don't ever actually work out during tour. You
we just say we're going to.
And we said how stupid.
I know.
Steven says, you know, if I could,
you know, if I worked out like in like a week, like I would get like ripped like so fast.
You know,
so fast.
Yeah.
I'm a twig, but you know,
I get so muscle.
I get so ripped so fast because it's been, you know, a thing that's happened in the past.
And you're like, okay, we just get fat and then
we get fat on tour because I drink literally every day.
Yeah.
Something.
I always lose weight on tour because I'm malnourished.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, I keep the calories coming. And just,
yeah.
I lose track after the 3,000th calorie. I mean, it's just gonna happen. Yeah.
But
you know, I probably burn like 6,000 calories on stage.
Yeah.
No electric fuel band on. It tells me
everything. It's pretty cool.
In 30 minutes, you know, whatever.
Yeah. 30 minute set, jump up and down.
High
like
intensity.
Half of it.
High intensity.
They tell you need 45 minutes of heart rate a day going to lose weight, but I do 30, and it's what I do in 30 is most people's 1 hour. So no big deal.
I try to weigh
5,000 pounds.
Try to eat like 9,000 calories in a day.
Yeah. You got to get it all in.
You know, Michael Phelps. He got his diet from us.
Yeah. I googled Michael Phelps and I found his diet. It's pretty cool.
We haven't talked in a while, though.
He's shredded.
I should also mention you guys just put out the vinyl version of Hail Mary, right?
Yeah. And it's not even out. Like, it's the pre-order of it, so I want it, like, in my hand.
Did it come out in, like, 2 months?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Is it two months? Seriously,
yeah,
2 months?
It's, like, 2 months.
That's why you do the pre-order, so then we can afford to make the vinyl.
I can't wait. I wonder how it's going to sound.
It's going
to sound like music.
I know. I'm just excited to see it because it's going to be, like, dark red, and our album is all stark black and white, so it's going to be one bright thing. I'm excited. Yeah.
Everyone should pre-order it.
This is true.
Pre-order the vinyl.
Get a shirt.
Yeah, get a shirt. What do you want?
Go get it for the people that love to listen to vinyls.
Because there's so many kids that were complaining about the goddamn vinyls. If we don't sell pre-orders and those kids are just talking shit and then don't even, when the time has come, don't get them,
For several months, the only comment left on certain things was, no vinyl? This.
Yeah.
No vinyl?
No,
I don't give a shit.
Even on my personal stuff, I could be like, I won first place in the science competition. And then they'd be like, there's no vinyl.
Where's the vinyl?
Look, my brother's given birth to a new baby. Congratulations. Where's the f***ing vinyl?
Did you give birth to vinyl?
Yeah. But so those kids, I will come find you if you don't. I can see who pre-ordered the vinyl, and I will find you and I'll destroy you. That's all.
I don't even like listening with my ears. Really.
Videos, we just actually show people's houses. Like, here's the f***ing vinyl.
Yeah, we're like, you talk shit about us not having a vinyl, and then kids are like, why don't you have vinyl? And I'm like, because we're poor. It's like $10,000 to press
a
vinyl.
Someone took a picture of Courtney's...
Me saying, I'm not making a vinyl, you little kid.
It was like, why aren't you making vinyls? And then Courtney's like, because we're poor. And
we can't afford it.
It costs money to make vinyls. And then right next to it was a picture of how we just released the pre-order for the vinyl. And she's like, see, told ya. Or something like that.
That's why we're so, yeah.
It's like, well,
I will find you.
Obviously found
and
a way.
I will destroy
you. We made a bit of money. Yeah.
I don't know.
We did it, guys. We're moving up.
Buy it?
Yeah. No.
No, they just wanted to show that I was wrong.
Yeah.
See, she's stupid. I'm not even going to buy it anyways.
That's you. That's what you sound
that's
like.
That's what you sound like.
What if they hear this? That's so rude.
Oh, we're just joking.
Hey, they started it. They started
it back.
You started it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we're finishing it.
All right, speaking of selling things, either on Facebook or Twitter, Courtney, you made it known that you have a vocal recording setup established that you can do remote vocal spots.
Yeah, that I can sell my soul.
Yes.
But yeah, Michael's actually quite the producer.
Oh, my.
Man, so
in our house, we have our own little, well, it's his, we have our own little recording studio. Okay. So it's really awesome anyway, because now that we have this, if I have an idea or something, I could just go in there.
Throw it on.
But yeah, I did it, and I did a few of them, and it was I was really like, oh no, what if I mess this up? And it made me realize that it was so cool, because I love getting to write singing parts in higher tunings. I haven't gotten to write a singing part in anything above like drop B in years. And people sending me stuff in D and drop D and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, this is so like, it's a whole different beautiful level for a female vocal that I haven't gotten to do in years. So I was like, I really like writing music for other people. I discovered that about myself.
You should do movie trailers.
No, I think what I'd like to do is, I'm not the best singer, but I do have really good ideas, and I would like to have someone who had that ability to sing songs that I wrote, and so it could be fully realized.
Exfoliate.
It could be exfoliated, yeah. Realized. Yeah, so that's like, I think that's what I'd like to, doing the recordings for people, it made me realize that. I was like, I love writing lyrics for other people. I want to do that.
Call any of the bands that we should keep an ear out for?
No, because I'm really tired and I can't think of any of the names. But we do have our friend, I did one for our friend who lives in Serbia. It's really cool. I never thought I'd do a thing for a band from Serbia. And his band's really awesome, so...
Elegies for a Dead Man.
Yeah. Is it eulogies or elegies?
No, it's...
Elegies
he spelt it weird. It's eulogies for...
Maybe... Well, maybe it's a Serbian word.
Maybe.
Elegies for a Dead Man.
Either or.
Yeah, that's that kid it's the kid that hung out in Serbia with us, who right. came to our show.
Yeah, he was so nice. He showed us around for a couple of
the. He became our tour guide, yeah. And I did a little guest spot for him, so that's really neat.
So you're working on your degree of psychology of arts, from what I understand? Well, when you get back to it, in an ideal world, what would you do with that?
Well, I wouldn't do anything with just that degree, because where we live, we call it the Tim Hortons degree. Wow. It's like our Dunkin' Donuts, Tim Hortons.
You could be a manager, Tim Hortons.
Yeah, it's just, it's like, yeah, it is. But, you know, it's just kind of, that degree, I have like 2 years left, and when I get that, that will just kind of be now I can, by that time, hopefully I'll figure out what I wanted to do from a master's degree, and then get a degree that can hopefully then translate into some sort of finances that are good for me.
School is for fools.
Yeah. And so I don't know what I do. But now everything that I like doesn't require a degree. So it's hard. You know, I want to, but I always say, like, even if I won the lottery and never had to work ever, I would still go get I just want my degree. It's important to me.
I want that piece of paper. I want to laminate it, put it on top of the fridge.
I do want to magnet to the fridge.
The letters.
I think that's what everyone's parents want.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just proof that we tried.
Oh my God.
But, you know, I'm not going to try. I'm really bad at school.
I think Ricky's going to, like, open up a cool bar and then become really rich.
Yeah.
And have, like, a bunch of bars.
Keep going.
I'm smart. You're dumb. I opened up a bar.
But, yeah, I think if I wasn't doing this, I think I would want to write songs for people. So, once again, something that you have to know people and no degree is meaningless. But what about you?
Like, what schooling I would take?
I feel like he wants to be a therapist or something.
Yeah, I'd do that. That'd be sweet.
Even
but,
a teacher.
I don't know. It'd take too long, and I'd probably just kind of say screw it halfway through.
You should probably just, like, work at a barbershop and clean up all the hair.
Yeah. That pays well, doesn't it?
It's better than this.
It's good benefits.
You get dental.
Haircuts?
Yeah, haircuts.
Look sharp.
All right, so how's Mildred doing?
Oh, I miss Mildred.
Mildred's starting to stink.
Mildy.
She's so stinky. Yeah.
She's stinky.
We miss her. Steven, he updates us, you know, pretty much weekly with pictures of her if she does something cute. But I really miss, and I was just going through my phone today, like, just to delete some pictures that were taking up too much space, and I have, like, 1,000 pictures of Mildred. I was going through, and I just like, oh, my sweet baby, I miss you. So I don't know when I'll get to see her next. Some of the tours that we're thinking of doing, like, aren't even going out that way, so I don't, you know, she can't really come on tour in the hotness or coldness, unless we're on a bus, because it's just not good for her. So I miss her. She's my shout out to my girl. Shout out to my dog.
Ruff.
If you're listening,
ruff. We'll tweet this at her. Don't worry.
Old Mildred.
All right. So, do you have any touring plans or any plans that you can announce?
No.
Not announce.
No. It's just. You know, we want to be. We're not trying to do a headliner. We're trying to, like, go out on tour with our friends. So at this point, we're like, all right, friends. You let us know and we can tell people.
Who are we going with?
Yeah. Take us.
Why did they hire us? Let's do this.
Yeah, so we're just, you know, those. So we can't announce anything until they announce anything. So, but I do think that we'll be touring, hopefully, you know, a few more times, like one more time this year, and then, like, in the spring. That's my optimum.
We'll get back to Metallica soon. The offer's on the table.
Yeah, Metallica. That's not even a funny joke anymore, because our friends' bands are touring with Korn and Slipknot and shit. It's wild. Yeah, like Suicide Silence.
Beartooth is doing a Slipknot tour. That's amazing.
Beartooth is doing Slipknot. I'm like, what's happening? What's going on?
Amazing.
Mice and Men when I was Linkin Park.
Yeah.
Come on. Jesus.
But in the end, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, I tried so hard. I got so far. But in the end, it doesn't even matter.
Actually, speaking of Beartooth, at Warped Tour, they split a set with Silverstein, and they were calling themselves Silvertooth. So they were exchanging members, going back and forth.
Sure.
Yeah, and I talked to Billy from Silverstein. He was very insistent on being introduced as Billy from Silvertooth. So they were really taking it to the extreme.
I saw our friends in Vanna went to Warped Tour, and I saw every member had a picture playing with Beartooth. So maybe they did a Vanna Beartooth. Maybe it was Vantooth.
There you go. Vantooth.
So I think they, I think, anyway, I think that's just goddamn adorable. Yeah. Go swap. I think it's so cute when you, like, have your friends come on stage with you and stuff. It's the best.
I'd like to see I wrestle a Beartooth.
Those guys are good. You know some of them,
I know,
right?
Brandon, the drummer.
Yeah, they're really nice.
We did a tour with In Fear and Faith. And Brandon was filling in on screaming vocals In Fear and Faith. And then we all hung out. And then, like, some years...
Brandon's mustache guy, right?
Yeah, and then later he was
mustache
like,
guy.
Oh, I'm playing drums in this Beartooth band. And then a couple years later, biggest band ever.
I know.
I made the right choice.
We're like, oh, now you guys are the bear band everyone knows. Jesus.
No, now we're just...
The other
the
bear.
Dirt.
We're the other bear band.
Yeah.
They need to get it together. Take us out.
All the bear bands should get together and do a tour.
I know. Well, who else? What else? Isn't there the bunny bear?
No.
We could go with the bunny bear.
We'll go without that one.
We'll go with the bear.
What's the one band that the ex-Botch members? What's that band?
Minus the bear.
Minus the bear.
Yeah.
Woo.
And then Horse the Band. Let's go with all the animals.
Yeah, just an animals. Yeah. Animals is leader.
Animals, yeah.
Yeah.
Animals is leader. Yeah, see? The Zodiac Tour.
Well, you're welcome for the next 2 years of touring ideas. I mean, at least.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right, so luckily enough for you guys, last question. I always end with this one. Stuck in a desert island, one album, rest of your life, what is it?
Whoa.
Exactly.
So I have the album, and I even have something to listen to.
Yeah.
Wow. I would get an album that was made out of cheese.
Oh.
Like eat it.
Yeah.
No, I would Space Jam.
Okay. Space Jam soundtrack. Okay. I'm going to say... Michael Jackson
Off the Wall.
Thriller. I'm gonna go Thriller. But then I'm gonna figure out a way to take apart this CD player I have and make something a call.
Yeah,
I'm
gonna make a boat out of it.
Yeah, make a boat.
MacGyver.
I'm gonna phone home.
No, I would get his greatest hits.
Yeah.
I don't even need a Thriller.
Well, after I turn the record player or whatever into a phone and they pick me up, I'm gonna go listen to all my other favorite albums after that. Yeah. Now you.
I'd have a burnt copy of Down With The Sickness
on
14 tracks, and I would have the CD player that has like the skip protection, so like I wouldn't miss a second. But then also I would take apart my CD player, make a time machine, go back and be in that band, thus closing the circle.
But then you'd go back in time, and then somehow if you were in that band, then that song wouldn't have been made.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, god damn it. So you messed it up.
I couldn't take away that song from the world.
So
it's too important.
Desert Island.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh well. I'd go
next
back,
time.
Yeah. I'd go back in time.
Oh well, next time.
I think I'd bring the Smash Mouth CD too.
Yeah.
And which one, you know, the Smash Mouth CD. I'm sure they've had 10, but you know, the one
everyone loved.
The one that we all had. It was one of the first CDs I ever bought.
Yeah.
When I was like,
greatest hits.
I would bring my own MacBook with Ableton on it, and I'd make my own hot CD. It's got Hot Fire mixtape.
It would be the rarest of the Pepes because no one would hear it. You could bury it.
It'd be so hot anyways because I'm in the desert.
Yeah.
So Hot Fire.
So the answer is the album that's in your head that you haven't made yet, that's definitely Hot Fire.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're so sorry about this. Really, so, we're so sorry.
Wonderful insight.
We're so sorry. We don't get to talk to anybody, so you guys are talking to us, and we're really excited.
We're happy to help. Thank you so much for the interview, and if you don't mind, we have a little housekeeping stuff.